Trip Tracy, my man, Hurricanes analyst. We got to start with Martin Natchez here. Because I don't know if I have ever seen any time a player do what he has done in clutch situations. Four goals that tied games late. One at 2:05 with 2:05 left against Philly back in October. Then with 39 seconds left in Winnipeg in November. Then we had the two overtime winners against Dallas. Then he did the double, 12 seconds left against San Jose, and the overtime winner. And then point nothing on the clock in Philadelphia. He's worth 9 points just on his own to the Hurricanes. How do you put that into words?
Well, first of all, AG, you got me racking my medulla in Hurricanes history. You know, and I'm thinking, I just quickly thought about UC Jokinen. The 2009 run, you know, scoring a goal with just seconds left against New Jersey in the playoffs. And, you know, the tying goal before Eric Staal scored it. And then I believe he had an overtime winner in the Boston series. But you just have me going through my head in Hurricanes history. Natchez has been, he's been captain clutch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that simple. You know, you think about it, gosh, and it seems like eons ago because the bookends on all of these clutch goals, late in regulation and then in overtimes, the two books on both ends for me was the goal when Carolina wasn't generating much of anything late in the game, I believe on October 29th in Philadelphia, and he goes high heat to get him to overtime, and then he sets up Brent Burns to win that game and eventually, a couple of nights later, beat Washington, go 7-2, I believe, in October. Mm-hmm. And he has all these other moments, tying goals, overtime goals, and then the other end of the that stack of books is the buzzer-beating goal on Saturday. And, you know, you can quantify, I know that you did on Twitter, the number of points that, because of his clutch ability, that the Hurricanes have accumulated. And I just, specifically, beyond the points of whatever you would say, what they've gained and what they would have lost, I think specifically about what the bus and plane ride home would have been like coming home from Philadelphia, losing both ends of the back-to-back, true adversity, and it changed the entire complexion. Aside from the points, two important points in the win column as you're trying to chase down a division, I don't think you can put a price tag on that. If this was a three-way call, you, me, and Natchez, he would speak about the trust that Rod has shown in him this year to put him out in situations where the game is on the line. You know, that's so important to any player. I think I've shared it with you. I've talked to Scotty Bowman about it in his history. Russians and Czechs are now Czechia. Scotty's words, he thinks the players from those countries, especially so, need to feel that trust from the coaches. And boy, has, with Rod giving him that trust, has he ever delivered and scored just an abundance of huge goals.
Last year was really was the outlier for Natchez, who struggled mightily. The year before, he scored a bunch of big goals. And we remember in the playoffs, the wraparound goal against Nashville that may have saved that series for Carolina. Trailing in a 2-2 series at home in Game 5, it gets them to overtime where Carolina wins it. But he has a knack, because I may be crazy here, but I don't think the last, not necessarily the entire month, but I don't think the last few weeks have been the best of Natchez's game in other areas. He's playing less on the penalty kill. His puck management hasn't been outstanding. But the one thing that hasn't gone away, he's been able to score big goals for them, which sort of masks some of the other issues that maybe has crept into his game a little bit. But I do think that Natchez has worn everything, and I think he's carrying himself. I think he's just a much more confident player.
You bring up a lot of really good and important points. Number one, I agree with you. If he doesn't score that wraparound, because the Hurricanes weren't generating much of anything against Nashville, I think they very good chance with the way the Preds have been at home, and how little Carolina was generating that third period. I think it's a very good chance Nashville wins that series in six. So that's my first, you know, takeaway. Again, going back into Hurricanes history, what I like most about Marty Natchez here recently is how candid he's been. He did an interview on the television side with Hannah Yates after the second period in Toronto on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And he immediately, you know, pointed to not managing a puck in the neutral zone that led to Aston Reese from Lafferty scoring that 2-on-1 goal that you just can't have that. Mm-hmm. You can't have that, period, but you can't have it against elite teams like Toronto or certainly all the weapons that the New York Rangers present tonight. But I didn't like the turnover. I didn't like the long shift that led to Marner scoring in the first period. But what I love is his immediate accountability, mm-hmm. recognition, and desire that he's had all year to be relied upon as a 200-foot forward for the Carolina Hurricanes. So that just gives me a ton of hope that he's going to find a level of consistency from both ends of the rink and with regards to the details necessary in his game. I just see mature professionalism through and through. And when I watch him on a daily basis, there will be some hiccups, mm-hmm. but I believe he will get there. And you know, whether he stays at wing, whether he ends up being a center, whatever it is, a guy that will be a 200-foot player in this league, because I just see that desire and that pride that he strives to be and doesn't shy away from those hiccups if they occur along the way.
Let's move on to the footnote from the game, the guy with the hat trick, which is amazing. Of course, I did have a debate whether or not that move around Tony DeAngelo or through Tony DeAngelo was better than the one when Tony was with the Rangers in the bubble. Both remarkable moves. I have not disliked Aho's game even during that 7-game stretch where he didn't score. But he did take it up to a level against Philadelphia because they needed goals. And you could tell the relief when he scored the first one.
Yeah, as I was having my coffee, you know, Sunday off day, you know, I tweeted a little bit about it in speaking about Sebastian and during this stretch. And, you know, I do think that there is a distinguishable difference between compete and frustration. You know Sebastian well.
Yeah.
You know that he has full recognition, the team first guy that he is, that he knows he needs to produce for this team to win mm-hmm. hockey games. And it was just churning him up inside. The fact that, you know, that whole process of 7 games without a point. But when I speak about, and I feel with strong conviction, that frustration never ruled the day. His on-ice play, he continued to stick with it. He did get, for the most part, an abundance of chances. His overall game did not fall off drastically. He didn't stop moving his legs, which oftentimes you do, and you lose your work ethic when you lose your offensive confidence, and then your game really falls down the slope. And then watching him in the locker room, on the plane, the private conversations, even as I know him, he was churning inside. He never lost his marbles. And it got to the point where, you know, the flight from Toronto after the game on Friday, he was walking down the aisle, let the players get off first. He looked at me, goes, "Tripper, hit me." I'm like, "What?" He said, "Just hit me." And, I hit him in the face. And, you know, then he said after the game in Philadelphia, "You're going to have to hit me again." I said, "Sebastian, a guy like you doesn't need superstition." And my hope is that, first of all, that's a leader.
Yeah.
That's a leader that sticks with it. I can think of stretches in Rod Brindamore's career that it comes to mind. But the Hurricanes aren't going to have success with or without Andre Svechnikov, Max Pacioretty, without Sebastian Aho going next level in the playoffs. And my true hope is, and I'm cautiously optimistic about this, is this seven-game pointless stretch is going to serve him well. And it won't go dry in April and hopefully beyond. But the reason he wears a letter on his jersey, watching how he conducted himself during those seven games on the ice and in the locker room, away from the rink, is why he is a leader on this team.
All right, final thing, and I think we agree that whenever the captain is done, whenever 11 is done, 20 will wear the C. I've thought about that for years. Whenever Jordan Staal is done, I think Sebastian Aho will be the captain. I know there are other candidates, but he's got a fire about him that I think means he should be the captain. Let me just ask you about tonight, because it's the start of a five-game stretch. Rangers, Leafs, Bruins, Tampa, in 8 days. These five games in 8 days. I don't know what it's going to determine, but we know that these are hard games. But these two specifically, against a team that you feel like you should have beaten a year ago and that you haven't beaten yet this year, your thoughts?
Well, what I think about is, and you and I spoke about it, that not even close. The best all-around game Carolina has played recently, tough schedule coming from the West, and a grizzled opponent in Tampa. I think that respect factor got that complete buy-in that is required to be successful. And that's why that game looked the way that it did. So my hope and cautious optimism is that the Hurricanes are going to have, you were talking about Natchez's details, that buy-in is going to be there, because otherwise it can get ugly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as that's there, I think with the straw that needs to stir the drink and what needs to be the best group of defensemen in the Eastern Conference, I think that 5-on-5 will be there and can match up against any of these teams, New York, Boston, Toronto, Boston, then Tampa. What needs to be a steady common denominator in this stretch, AG, is that it's simple, but it's magnified now. Hurricanes are going to need to have the better goaltender. I think they got to go with, they want to make sure that they preserve him for the playoffs health-wise. I personally think they got to run Freddie as much as you can while preserving him from the playoffs. He's got to be the better guy. If he goes tonight, he's got to be better than Igor Shesterkin. And then your special teams, you got to find a way to win them. The penalty kill has fallen off these last couple of games. It had been Sterling before. Relocate that. And what an opportunity. What a litmus test here to look and see, you know, with what has cost you in the last couple of playoffs of matching and exceeding the top power plays in the Eastern Conference. We're going to get a real good barometer of where that stands.
No question. The Rangers' power play is what did Carolina in a year ago. We could say that about every playoff exit in the last 4 years. Hopefully that will not be the problem tonight. Trip Tracy, I will see you very soon. Thank you.
You got it, AJ.